Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Time to take off the belt, Bryce, and time to just put on some comfy loafers. It's the end of Parliament today.
Mikey, yes.
Dr. Bryce Edwards, good morning to you. It's the end of Parliament finishes up today.
Yes. But it gets more chaotic, doesn't it?
It does.
It means they are released out to the community.
They are released out to the community, out to just to pour at us and to salivate over us and to tell us how great we are. And please, please vote for me. I've got everything you need.
That's right. I think you're sufficiently cynical about this.
Well, I should be. That's what's happening. Remember, our whole political system is based on vote for me, not them, vote for me, sort of thing.
You're absolutely right.
It's interesting to cast your eyes over the last couple of years. After this last term, this term where the Prime Minister decided, no, that's me, I've blown my load, I'm out of here. And then the other guy got to take over. That happened in that term, didn't it? What else have been the big things that have happened in this term you can think of?
The other big ones that happened in the last few weeks, of course, with Andrew Little resigning from leader of the Labour Party and Matthieu Ricciardi, likewise from co-leadership of the Green Party. I'm thinking, what else? I mean, those are really the big ones.
Those will do for now, won't they? Those will do for now. Those cause a ripple in the time-space continuum, for sure.
Exactly. So I don't think it's been a particularly exciting parliamentary term. No, apart from those three things, those leaders going.
All right. So it's time to look over at the Ardern leadership. The leadership of the Labour Party, has she had any problems, or has it all just been breezy since she took over?
Her first test was dealing with Matthieu Ricciardi, and that's big controversy. And I think from a mainstream political audience point of view, she dealt with that very well. She pretty much distanced herself from Matthieu Ricciardi and her problems and ruled her out of being in a future Labour government cabinet. So I think she passed that test in terms of respectability, credibility. Some on the left, of course, didn't see that as being so kind. But they were friends, weren't they?
Yeah. You know. Up until then, I suppose, you know. It's probably still remain friends, but, you know.
Exactly. She's had a few problems from some of her own side. Calvin Davis gave her a few problems with the way he talked about the government. But more importantly, Chris Hipkins, her front bench MP, has caused some ripples this week.
So let's talk about that. Let's remind people what's happened there. In Australia, they're really big. It's in the constitution, the federal government. You're not allowed to be part of the federal government or an MP if you have dual citizenship. Why that is, I've got no idea. But
it's an arcane idea from way back, you know, saying that, well, if you're a citizen of another country, maybe you're not loyal to Australia.
Yeah, you might be sneaking secrets out the back door.
Exactly.
And how did Chris Hipkins get involved? Was he spoken to by a journalist or by a former New Zealand?
Yeah, I mean, of course, he's mates with people in the Australian Labor Party. One of them, in fact, is a New Zealander that works over there for an Australian senator, and they got talking about this.
Who formerly used to work for Helen Clark, is that right?
Is that right? Yeah, that's right. Marcus Ganley, his name is, yes. Yep. And so he ended up asking submitting some parliamentary questions to Peter Dunn, who's the Minister of Internal Affairs, and he asked questions about Australian citizenship and whether Australians who had a father born in New Zealand would still be a New Zealand citizen. And he didn't allude to any Australian politicians, but I think he pretty much was gunning for the Deputy Prime Minister, Barnaby Joyce. So it turns out that Barnaby Joyce is a New Zealander in the sense that his father was born in Dunedin.
And he didn't know that.
No,
apparently.
He didn't know. I mean, because he didn't officially have any sort of citizenship. He didn't have the certificate. He didn't have it in his passport.
Yeah.
He didn't know. And so
who raked up the muck?
Well, lots of people were raking up the muck. The media in Australia were starting to investigate. So Chris Hipkins, you know, sent in this question. And so Internal Affairs in New Zealand, so the New Zealand government got wind of this and started working out, oh, my God, So one of our allies, the deputy prime minister across the ditch, is actually one of us, and is going to be in trouble. So they contacted him and let him know.
You're right.
And so he made the announcement that he was now a New Zealand citizen, and he didn't want to be. He renounced his citizenship, which sounds a bit sort of...
Fine by me. I don't care. See you later.
Yeah.
More for everyone else. But why is Chris Hipkins in so much trouble about it, though? I don't understand that.
Well, just because he was seen
He just didn't
as,
think. He didn't think.
He didn't think. He was seen as instigating this. And there's this rule in global politics that you're not one politician in one country isn't really supposed to meddle in the internal affairs of another. I mean, there's no rules about it. It's just kind of politeness, really.
Yeah.
Because it's seen as you're not supposed to, go and stick your oar in where it's not wanted. And so Australian politicians are saying, this Chris Hipkins guy, he's going to be a minister soon if there's a change of government, and we don't really like him because he's,
calm down.
He's meddling in our affairs.
Yes, who's it, Julia?
So Julia Bishop is the foreign minister.
Julia Bishop, yes. Her comments were just ridiculous, weren't they, really?
They were. They're politicians, of course, and so she really racked it up and exaggerated it and said, well, if the Labor Party become government in this election, I don't know if we'll be able to work with them. We don't know if we can trust them. Oh. And so she was politicking. Everyone in this story is politicking. They're looking out for their own political advantage. And so Australian government ministers, including the Prime Minister, have made all these silly statements about the foreign power of New Zealand intervening in, Australian affairs.
We're a juggernaut in the old foreign political stakes, aren't we?
And it's just poor old Chris Hipkins asking a dopey question. It was a written question, so it wasn't even in Parliament. It was just he sends off this letter. And so this is embarrassing for Jacinda Ardern, who is being told off, essentially, by Australia.
Is she handling it right? Is she doing the right thing?
She has. She's turned it into a real positive. She's come out and she's made a case that these are false claims from the Australian government and that we're going to stand up to Australia. And she's gone and seen the Australian High Commissioner and registered her disappointment that the New Zealand Labor Party
being blamed. One of my favourite terms, I register my disappointment.
Yes. So she's looking strong, but she has told off Chris Hipkins. She's put him in his place and said that was unacceptable, the question he asked. And
Has he sort of sealed the deal as far as no job if they get into government, if they become the government?
Ah, good question. Yes. No, not at all. I think he will be education minister if there is a Labor-led government, and this will soon be forgotten because it's all politicking. Yeah. Everyone. So the New Zealand government are also wagging their finger at the Labor Party. They're using it as a chance to put Jacinda Ardern in her place and sort of suggest to voters that maybe the Labor Party, are a bit dodgy. But it's all a bit crazy. But I think Jacinda Ardern is actually the winner out of this, even though she's being blamed by the Australian and New Zealand governments for meddling in Australian affairs. She's been able to turn it around and say, stand up to the Australians and say this is a load of rubbish and that we're not apologising.
Good day to you, Luke. I've got an election to win, sort of thing.
Yes, exactly. Right. And so she's come out looking the strongest out of everyone on this, which so I think she's quite lucky. So she just continues her winning ways, I think, and nothing has gone wrong for her so far. Everyone has talked about her inexperience, talked about...
That's not sticking, though, is it?
It's nothing sticking, no. She just keeps on rolling towards that prime ministerial position.
Can I use the term again I used the other day? The Jacinda Nought?
Jacinda Nought. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
The election is only a month and a bit away now. It's only 37 days away, is that right? 37?
Something like that,
eh? Not far.
Yeah.
Not far. If you don't know who to vote for and you don't know how to do it, help. I don't know. It sounds too hard. What's your advice to Dr. Bryce Edwards, political commentator?
Well, you don't have to vote.
Okay. There's that. Yeah, sure.
No one has to vote. We keep being told we have to, but we don't. If there's nothing that's exciting you, nothing that's enthusing you, just don't vote. That's fine.
Pluck as well.
Well, there's a million of us that haven't necessarily voted.
Did you vote in the last election?
No, I didn't vote.
Goodness gracious me, well, how about that,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah.
I understand that. I totally get it. But if you do want to vote, where's the best place to go and get some decent information on it? And because you're officially supposed to be enrolled by this time next week.
Oh, you know. That's right. And legally, you do have to enroll.
Yeah.
So no one's really going to hassle you. You can get fined $100 for not enrolling. But, you should go to the elections website. You can easily enroll. But if you want to find out who to vote for, there's a few interesting websites coming up at the moment that give you lots of detail, interesting detail about the political parties, about the policies. The spin-off website has a really good one. So that's one I would recommend. But,
right.
If you're onto that, there's this policy section, and it's quite creative. It is actually very interesting. It's not as boring as it might sound. You can go through and read everything in plain English about what the parties are standing for.
Awesome.
And you get an idea of what parties measure up for you. But there's another good one called On the Fence, onthefence.co.nz, I think it's called, and that's set up by Massey University. And it's probably more aimed at kind of the 18 to 22-year-olds. And you put in a number of questions, and it tells you which political party you're most closest to ideologically.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's quite fun. I mean, it's kind of the gamification of voting, so you should take it with
a pinch of salt. Just app it up.
But it's still useful.
All right, I'll tell you, well, Dr. Bryce Edwards, the next time we speak, I guess we'll be teetering on the verge of that general election. And I'm very excited to hear what's happening then. Thanks very much for talking to us this morning. Always a pleasure.
Cheers, Mikey.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.